Hello, I'm Peter Fleming, and here I am at the table again with Gail Hall, who's got yet another selection of culinary delights for us. Hello, Gail.
Hello. Well, I thought I'd just reflect a little bit, Peter, but I'm going to start off first with perfect porridge. That's going to be one of our first recipes today, but I just want to recall on my carrot hummus, just very quickly. Wasn't entirely happy about it. I think it had 6 carrots, and I think my carrots were far too big. You know, 6 medium carrots, didn't say what size, but I actually peeled quite 6 large ones. And then you're cutting those up with garlic, you know, 3 or 4 cloves of garlic, and with some macadamias, which are not available at the moment, so I used a packet of walnuts. And I roasted those, beautiful, I must admit, with the oil, with some oil, and they were beautiful roasting, absolutely, but I don't think that I gave them long enough because I cut the chunks up too big. And I said, I think if you're doing this, please cut your chunks up smaller and don't use large carrots. So that's one little tip, because in the end, it didn't sort of really, I took them out after about an hour and much longer than the recipe said. And they were, I could cut them, but I think they should have been cooked. So I actually put them in the whiz with the chickpeas and the lemon juice and whatever else was the recipe. I can't think. But anyway, it was quite a mission to actually to put them through the whiz. But I've brought some in for Peter, and I'll let him actually, when he tastes it, he can, you know, see what he thinks. But I'm not totally happy with it. But I'm sure if we followed it a bit better, maybe it would have been okay.
Well, I have tasted it because I got a spoon and had a quick, and it's jolly nice. Yes, it's quite crunchy. It's got bit lumps in it, but flavour-wise, it's fine. So, yes, it probably would be better if it was sort of whizzed a bit more. But,
I think so. Well, I whizzed it. Believe me, I whizzed it. But I think it really just didn't pick up those bits. And but never mind. Like you say, if it tastes okay, well, just have to have a little bit of crunchiness with it as well.
Well, of course, it's always interesting when you come to cook these things, isn't it? How different. So let me. I give my report.
Yes,
this week?
Yes, right, yes. Yours looks absolutely lovely. As per usual.
Come on. I stuck my hand up last week and said, I'll try the Persian-inspired rice cake. Now, I was a bit puzzled by this as to quite what you did with it when you'd made it. So I had a look online, and it's actually a Persian dish which is called tashin, T-A-C-H-I-N. And it's a very well-known one out there. And it's just this baked rice, because you bake it, you sort of pour a custard, it looks like a custard, which is yogurt and oil and egg yolks with some saffron in. Do you remember last week, Gail, I said how expensive saffron is?
I actually discovered it. I thought of you when I saw it in the supermarket. I thought, oh, there's bloomin' saffron threads. And I think they're about $21 a jar.
Oh, well, the stuff we bought was from New World, I think, or one of the other, Woolworths probably. It was $12.60 for a gram. So if you work it out, it's $12,000 a kilo.
Goodness, I spied it. I've never noticed it before, only the fact that we were talking about it, and I thought, there's those bloomin' threads.
Anyway,
oh, my goodness. Won't be buying those for 2 threads.
We didn't buy a kilo. No, you just buy it by the gram. Anyway, so I do use the saffron, which gives you a nice yellow colour. So I did the rice, as it says, and did it. Then once you've baked it in the oven, and it's supposed to come out crunchy, is the whole essence of this stuff.
Oh.
But with that, so you pour this custard over, mix it all together, and it comes out crunchy because you bake it for about an hour. And it's very nice. And your recipe called to bake some cauliflower. So, you know, toss it in olive oil.
Yes.
Bake the cauliflower florets for 30 minutes. They're rather nice. And then you make a dressing of olive oil, lemon juice, honey, and, pomegranate molasses, but that's honey and lemon, and some chopped up dates and parsley. And you put that on top of the turned out cake and pour the drizzle over it.
Sounds lovely.
Well, it sounded all right, but I thought, what do you eat with it? I mean, I'm a meat eater, so what I did in the end, very quickly, I abandoned all the date stuff, and I got it ready, but I didn't use it. I just took the rice cake, cut a piece, and with that, I sort of just fried, sautéed, I suppose, some cold chicken. We've got some onions, a bit of leek, some mushrooms, a little bit of sprinkle of curry powder, and we had that on the side with the... don't want to go on too long. What I would do in the future, it's a super idea to make to bake your rice like this. And what I would do, I would I'd saute some chopped up bacon and probably some onions and then probably just mix those in with the rice mix before you put it in the tin and bake it. I think you'd end up with something really nice.
Oh, I might have to follow through on something like that.
Just a little variation.
Very good. But you talking about cauliflower, you know, Peter, I went to the expo, Women's Expo in Wellington, on the weekend gone, and basically they had cauliflower ice cream.
Sounds very basic, yes.
It sounds very basic, but I can tell you it was absolutely beautiful. I had the raspberry cauliflower ice cream. You can actually buy this in various supermarkets, but that's what I'll say. But it's it was lovely, and I'm telling everybody.
I think it's terribly underrated, cauliflower. I think it's a fascinating thing to look. I think it's a very pretty thing to look at.
It is.
And if you rice it or cook with all sorts of things,
I know.
It's
pizza base. Pizza bases with cauliflower.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that one.
Yeah. So there's our little...
bit of feedback.
Bit of feedback, but yes. Have you sent off a photograph?
I have, yes. Well, I haven't, but I took one, so I'll send
it. Oh, you took one. Well, I didn't take it off my carrot hummus, I must admit, because I wasn't particularly happy. I wasn't in the right frame of mind, Peter.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it just didn't go how I went. The kitchen had stuff spread all over it, carrot peels, worn-up packets, lemons from squeezing the juice, honestly. But anyway, it's not too bad, but it needs to be sort of at least 95% for me.
It is edible, and I shall eat it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start off this morning with perfect porridge. Now, I know that you know breakfast is the meal of the day, and I saw this and I thought we don't really talk about breakfasts, so I decided that today we would have a variety of porridges, and most people like porridge, and there's a basic recipe for this porridge, and I thought, well, I'll give you the basic recipe, then I've chosen three variations that I'll move on to afterwards, but very, very good. And basically, I know that sometimes we rush in the morning and we want to get our breakfast done, but maybe, you know, when you're at the weekend or something, when you've got a little bit more time, you could actually make these. So I'm going to give you the basic porridge recipe, which is 2 cups of the traditional rolled oats, 1/4 cup of caster sugar, 5 cups of milk, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence. And you're combining basically the oats, sugar, milk and vanilla in a heavy based saucepan. Cook and stir over low heat for 10 minutes or until the mixture is thick and creamy. So that's quite a bit. It's a bit of a family one. And then for a variation, I just chose this one to start with, apple, cranberry and hazelnut porridge. Now, we're always using a quantity of the basic porridge, so that's our starting point. Now, we've got 2 green apples unpeeled and cored, 1/3 cup of roasted chopped hazelnuts, plus 2 tablespoons extra, 1/3 cup of dried cranberries, plus 2 tablespoons extra of that, and 2 tablespoons of honey. So you've got the basic porridge as the recipe directs. So you've done that. Coarsely grate 1 apple, thinly slice the remaining apple. Stir grated apple, hazelnuts and cranberries through the porridge. Top with the sliced apple, extra hazelnuts and extra cranberries. And then after that, you're going to drizzle it with the 2 tablespoons of honey. So really nice little variation there, getting a bit of fruit and stuff in your good basic porridge. Now, the next one I decided would be the crunchy peanut butter and banana porridge. So we're starting off again with the basic porridge recipe, 1/4 cup of firmly packed brown sugar, 1/2 cup of crunchy peanut butter, 1 cup of dried banana chips, and 1/4 cup of caramel topping. Well, that sounds great for breakfast, doesn't it? So you've got your basic porridge, and then you're swapping in your basic porridge the caster sugar for brown sugar. And then you're stirring in the peanut butter and serve the porridge topped with the banana chips and the caramel topping. and the banana chips, I thought they'd use, when I read this, and I was surprised that they didn't actually use fresh bananas, because the banana chips are quite sort of solid, aren't they?
They're crunchy, aren't they?
They're very crunchy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's your choice, but this is just a couple of variations instead of just maybe putting golden syrup or something like that on your porridge just to make it taste better. And the last one that I chose is a porridge with a spiced fruit compote. So basically, this one takes a little bit more time, and I think this is definitely a weekend one or when you're not in a rush. But it looks beautiful. We've got 1 cup of dried apricots, 1 cup of dried pitted prunes, 1 cup of dried sliced apples, 1 cup of dried figs, halved, 1/2 cup of sultanas, 1 cinnamon stick, 5 cloves, 2 whole star anise, 2 cups of water, 1 cup of caster sugar, and of course your basic porridge recipe, adding 1/4 cup of firmly packed brown sugar, and I think that's instead of the caster sugar, 1 teaspoon of mixed spice, and of course to end up with, once it's complete, 1/4 cup of thickened cream.
Golly, is this for breakfast?
Now, this is what I call a high-end breakfast. And this is when you're sort of like lounging around and you're sort of thinking, you know, what will we have? I thought you might comment on this. But when I looked at it, I thought, oh, well, this is probably quite nice if you're on holiday and you've got plenty of time, you know, and you can just do this for breakfast. But anyway, place the apricots, prunes, apples, figs, sultanas, cinnamon, cloves, star anise, water and caster sugar in a saucepan over moderate heat. Cook and stir for 3 minutes or until the sugar dissolves. Increase the heat, bring to the boil, reduce heat, simmer, stirring 15 minutes or until the fruit is soft and liquid is syrupy. So you're going to get a nice syrup out of this. Meanwhile, prepare your basic porridge recipe, swapping, as I said, the caster sugar for the brown sugar and adding that mixed spice. Now, at the end of it, this is a real high-end porridge. Top the porridge with the fruit compote and serve drizzled over with cream. Now, that would be lovely. I'd love it if it was served up to me.
What, while you're lying by the pool or something? Well, that's it. That's, yes, I see the picture, Gail. Yes.
Yes.
That's
it does. As I said, I chose that one because I thought, well, you know, it's quite nice to just go that extra mile to do something nice for breakfast. And I'm sure there'd be a little bit of fruit left over and you can have that with your, you know, morning champagne, perhaps, if it's about 10:30 or 11.
I don't think you want much for the rest of the day after this. I'd say that oats and me don't get on particularly well together, but I used to, as a child, and I was quite, I used to use Ready Breck, which was just, you don't have, it's a sort of oats, but you just put hot milk on it.
Oh, right.
And brown sugar and evaporated milk.
Oh, right.
Drool over evaporated milk.
Yeah. Well, there's such a variety. In fact, you know, there is a great variety of porridges or, you know, rolled oats, etc. Today. And I think you can actually get fruity ones as well. But let's get back to basics and, you know, sort of really breakfast is a main meal of the day.
Well, if that's back to basics in the Hall household...
Back to basics cooking, I mean, not this instant stuff, you know,
right,
Peter.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. No, I mean, the three good things there. The first two, I think, were probably acceptable, as you say. The other one's a Sunday morning.
It is. A Sunday morning one. That's what I thought too, you know. One that just takes a little bit of time, and if you've got all those ingredients in your pantry, yeah.
Gail, I think we're going to have to break for a bit of music now because we're halfway through the program. And you've still got two things to go.
I have, yes.
Yeah, okay. So just one thing before that. You need to watch out because I see in the paper that Meghan Markle, infamous, that's my opinion, the Duchess of Sussex is cooking up a string of tasty deals to establish herself as a leading kitchen and lifestyle guru. So you want to watch out, Gail. There's a bit of
competition. My competition there, yes.
Competition. Right, okay, to the music. Now, a little bit different this week. I know we've been dancing the out there on the floor. Well, we're not this week. I found a record by Dolly Parton. It's to do with apples. So we're not dancing, but look what I brought you in. Here's a banjo.
Oh.
Now, just get that tuned up, Gail.
Oh, right, okay.
And you're going to need it.
Okay.
That old Applejack had made. Then he'd take his banjo down. Then he'd ask me if I'd sing. And he would play the banjo and I'd play my tambourine. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song for me and I'll sing. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song, let your banjo. Jack is gone. Oh, but he left me his banjo and it always takes me back. And every time I play, I still hear Applejack. Everybody sing. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song for me and I'll sing. Play a song for me, Applejack, Applejack. Play a song, let your banjo ring.
Well done, Gail. Have you played the banjo before?
No, but I do enjoy it, and I do know somebody that does play it, and I love it.
Well, you did jolly well there. That's
thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Right, back to cooking then.
Right. Well, this I saw, and Nutella is a favourite with lots of kids and families. And I saw this, and I thought, Nutella cheesecake. That sounds delicious. So I thought I'd just experiment with our listeners and see if they would like to have a go at this because I think we're running out of school holidays, I think, but I just thought it might be a nice one. So we've got 250 grams of Cameo cream biscuits. That's the ones with the little bit of icing in the middle. I'm sure that's them. And 60 grams of butter melted, 500 grams of cream cheese softened, half a cup of caster sugar, 1.5 cups of Nutella chocolate hazelnut spread, 3 eggs, and of course, fresh raspberries. But I mean, if there's no raspberries around, and if there are, they'll be expensive. Any other fresh berry that you can put on top. So we're preheating the oven to 140 degrees Celsius, which is really, really quite low. Grease and line the base and side of a 20 centimeter springform cake pan, which I've got. So basically, that'll be perfect because you want to bring it up from the bottom. Process the biscuits until fine crumbs form. Add the butter and process until combined, and then press over the base of the prepared pan and smooth the surface. Now put that in the freezer while you're actually preparing your filling. In a clean food processor, process the cream cheese and sugar until smooth and combined. Add the chocolate spread, processed until combined as well with motor operating, add one egg at a time, processing until combined. Pour the mixture into the pan and place the pan on an oven tray. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because you've got a loose bottom tin and, you know, you've put in the butter into your biscuit crumb, you never know what sort of like might just creep through though that base of that pan. So we put an oven tray just to make sure that it catches all that and you don't have to clean your oven. So place the pan on the oven tray and bake for 1 hour 20 minutes. Now that's quite long, but remembering that the oven is only on 160, which is almost what you bake a pavlova at, nice and slow, or until almost set in the center. Cool in the oven with the door ajar. So just open it up when it's finished, let it cool in there, and then bring it out, cover, and refrigerate for 4 hours or at least overnight. I'd be inclined to leave it overnight if I was preparing it for the next day. And just before serving, top with the berries, raspberries, maybe blueberries, which seem to be always quite, you know, on the supermarket shelves, nice and fresh. Okay, so that is your Nutella cheesecake.
Sounds good. I mean, Nutella is fantastic stuff anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's not something that I actually eat, to be quite honest, but
I came across it many years ago as a youth in Germany, and they used to spread it on a sweetest sort of German bread.
Yeah.
And it was very nice. Then I got back to the UK, and I took a jar of Nutella back because you couldn't get it in the UK then.
Oh.
And on ordinary bread, it was just not the
so
same.
Nice.
But this sounds like a good one. And
yeah.
Gail's just waved me a picture of this, and it, yeah, well, a cheesecake anytime. It always goes
it
down well, doesn't
Look at
it?
That.
Yeah, that looks terrific.
Nice.
That's a well worth a try, that one.
It is well worth a try. So we're moving on. How are we going for time there, Peter?
We're fine.
Right. Okay, we're going to do some spiced nuts. I thought this would be quite nice for snacking around when you're having friends over and you're sitting around about 4 o'clock, just having a little drink and a chat. So for this, you're needing 500 grams of mixed nuts of choice. They've suggested almonds, cashews, pecans, macadamias, which seem to be quite elusive at the moment. But 500 grams of nuts of your choice. Now, a 100-gram packet of crispy noodles, a half a cup of pepitas. Now, I think the pepitas, I meant to actually look that up, to be quite honest. I think they're sort of like a sunflower seed. I'm not sure.
Got me there.
Anyway, it's just a half a cup of those. I meant to do that before I left home. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 teaspoons of ground cumin, 3 teaspoons of ground coriander, 2 teaspoons of sea salt flakes, 1.5 teaspoons of garam masala, 1.5 teaspoons of sweet paprika, and 3/4 teaspoon of chili flakes. Well, there's certainly plenty of spice there. So we're preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now line an oven tray with baking paper. In a bowl, combine nuts, noodles, and pepitas. Stir in the remaining ingredients to coat completely. Now spread over an oven tray, bake for 10 to 15 minutes, stirring, if you can, well, you should do, every 5 minutes until toasted and aromatic. Cool. Oh, and it says, and serve with drinks. Store in an airtight container once they are cold. And they certainly sound spiced, Peter.
Yeah, that sounds rather nice. Yeah, nice to make something yourself to have with your drinks.
Yeah, and it does look nice.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know,
just
really nice. And a lot of people like spiced nuts.
Pepitas, the sunflower seeds.
I wondered about that.
I looked it up.
Oh, you did.
There is a difference. There is a difference between sunflower seeds and pepitas, but to all intents and purposes, they're the same thing.
They're
apparently.
The same thing. Thank you very much. Ideal. Well, I wondered about that because I thought, have I heard sunflower seeds being called pepitas before? But I was pretty sure. So thank you for correcting us on that. That's good. So basically, I don't know why they didn't put sunflower seeds, but they put pepitas instead. So in the recipe, but probably anyway,
makes that's it sound our, a bit posher, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, it does, really. Yeah, and so that's our spice nuts recipe.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't quite like the look of that. Mm. And then the olive oil sort of binds everything together and
well,
it sticks
does.
It all on,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Not a lot of olive oil, but it's enough.
No, just enough.
Yeah, just enough to do that. So so we're right for time there.
Well, I think we're just about probably spot on then.
Right? Oh, good.
We insert the bit of music and that.
Oh, good.
We don't seem to have covered quite so much ground today as we sometimes do. But,
yeah, well, we had those, you know, the basic porridge in three varieties, so that sort of extended our breakfast menu.
That is true.
And talking about our do's and our don'ts with our thing, which is great, which is really good.
Well, that's right, yes, because we're both finding that these things are fine until you stand in the kitchen and you think, what?
Well, I was thinking of that when I was doing that carrot hummus last night, and I thought to myself, well, this is a little bit different to what, you know, I expected, to be quite honest. And I would have probably just grabbed a bowl of roasted carrot with the walnuts and garlic and eaten it, to be quite honest. I thought that was rather tasty.
Well, going back to the rice cake, if you're interested in that, I do think it's quite a fascinating way of having rice. So have a look online and look up your Persian rice cake.
Mm.
And it is called tashin, and there's all sorts of variations on it. So I think it's well worth a try. Give it a try and let us know how you get on. How
well,
about that?
I'm going to actually give it a try because it looks lovely, the slice that you've given me. And I think the fact that you said about adding other things to it, like the bacon and the onion.
Well,
and
I think
like
you could just add stuff. Yep. In the uncooked rice,
yeah.
Or it's then deciding. I mean, you can see it comes out like a cake.
Yeah.
I made this in a
lovely.
I made this in a springy tin,
oh,
like you were saying,
oh,
and
yeah.
I thought it might leak, but it didn't.
Oh so. Right, yeah. Well, there you are. That's fair. And I enjoy doing this, to be quite honest. You know, sort of experimenting, and sometimes we hit the button 100%, and but in my case, you know, I thought it was below 90.
We're doing John. It is good fun.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I think we've used the time slot up there,
okay.
Gail.
So righto.
Will you be back here next week?
I will be, yes. I'm not sure whether I'll make anything, but we'll see.
It's either you or Meghan Markle. I can't decide who to invite in. All right, Gail, bye for now.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.